I've always wondered, is the line, if you want to be my lover, you got to get with my friends a trick? Because it sounds as though I'm being given permission to date not only you, but all of your friends as well. And since I like you so much, I guess I'll make the sacrifice and get with all of your friends. It's interesting for sure. Well, I only have one friend, and we'd like you to get with both of us on this all-new episode, and we promise not to waste your precious time. Hello and welcome to Totally 80s and 90s Recall. This is a podcast where we'll take a look at everything the memorable decades of the 1980s and 90s had to offer, from music and movies to television and pop culture. If you're new to the show, be excited that you found us, as you're about to have an awesome time. And for all of our returning listeners and subscribers, it is great to have you back. I am one of your hosts, David, joined as always by a man who really wanted to go to the movies with Alanis Morissette. It is my good friend, Rob.
For a lot of reasons. Hey, today's
it's ironic.
Oh, good job. Today's episode goes out to all of our male listeners who might be feeling small or insignificant. Maybe you found yourself falling into a pattern of mooching off of everyone else. You have nothing going in your life. You're probably still living with your mom. You don't have a car. You don't have a job. And you don't have a plan to get any of those things fixed. Dave and I are talking to you if you don't have a car, you're living at home with your mother, you have a girl and you don't show her love, or you don't have any money. If you're listening today and this describes you, you're what the cool kids call a scrub.
The cool kids still say that?
All right. That's my research indicates that's what people say.
I agree with you.
Yeah. You might be asking, Dave and Rob, how do I know if I'm a scrub? Well, that's an excellent question, my friend. In addition to the characteristics listed previously, if you can answer yes to any of the following, you might be a scrub. Do you think you're fly? Fly in this context meaning to be cool, amazing, and awesome.
Oh.
Are you what some might call a busta?
Yeah, it happens.
Busta in this context meaning a poser, a wannabe, or one who fronts.
Yeah.
Bad. Are you always talking about what you want, but you just sit on your broke ass? If you can say yes to any of those, you might be a scrub. If you answered yes to all or some of these, Dave and I have some relationship advice for you. One, she doesn't want your number. Two, she doesn't want to give her number to you. Three, she doesn't want to meet you nowhere.
Nowhere.
Four, she doesn't want any of your time. And five, if you're checking her out, but your game is kind of weak, just know we highly advise you to not approach her. There's a very high probability that she is looking like class. And let's be honest, you're probably looking like trash.
That's true.
Hey, we just call it like we see it. But most of all, if you walk away from today's episode learning nothing, we want you to know this. If you ever find yourself driving around town and you're hanging out the passenger side of your best friend's ride, all while trying to holler at her, just stop.
Yeah.
You look ridiculous. Plus, it's just dangerous.
It is.
Yeah. All that aside, if you're a scrub or a busta, Dave and I are confident you'll get your life back on track, and we're just glad that you're here with us today.
We are. There you go. But it's good that we warned them how to notice the signs.
Yes. And because you want to catch it early.
Yeah. Especially that hanging out the side thing.
Yeah.
You know, you used to hang out the side of my ride, so maybe you were a scrub. You just out the Tercel window.
That's right. Trying to get their attention. The ladies.
Hey, it's an exciting day today, Rob.
Why?
I have a gift for you.
What?
Look at this.
You do not have
it. It's a gift.
Uh-uh.
I mean, you have to grab it with your big long arms. Yeah, I was perusing around the interwebs. I saw this online, and I thought of you as soon as I saw it. So our first opening of a gift on the podcast here.
Proud father of a few dumbass kids. I love it.
And I like the few because you have three. So it's relative to the number of children.
So then I have to decide which of the few are the dumbass.
I mean, yeah, it's up to you. So I think they could all fall under the umbrella if you choose. So
I love it.
That's the present. I saw it online. First present given out on our show, and it's for you. So there you go.
I will wear this in public with my family.
And they will appreciate it.
Oh,
very much.
That's awesome.
That is awesome. That is and there's gift. there's no birthday, no nothing. No. I just saw it and said,
I didn't know that was coming. Thanks.
I said, I showed it to the wife. She laughed. I laughed. I said, I'm getting for Rob. So there it is.
I love it.
Just a little something, something. Aww. All right. So
I take back anything I ever
said. You were talking about Scrubs a minute ago. You were talking about Fly. You were went into some slang. So yeah, I did. Since we're flashing back to the 90s today, I'm introducing a fun little segment. Uh-huh. I like to call Is Rob Still Cool? All right. So you have the three children.
Okay.
You got middle schoolers and high schoolers.
I do.
So you're hip to everything that's going on. And on some previous episodes, we used some slang that common kids use now. The kids use common slang the kids use now. Uh-huh. We used Riz. And at first you didn't know. You didn't know what that was.
I knew. So I know now.
I have a couple samples here today to see, are you still cool? Are you in the know? Because as the dad of middle school and high schoolers,
I should know
you got to know these things. Yeah. So, first one that I put down here, this is some current teen slang. Uh-huh. First one, you tell me if you think you know what it means.
Okay.
I have bussin.
Bussin.
B-U-S-S-I-N.
It means something is really good.
It does mean something
really
good.
It's hip. It's happening.
Wow, that is, you did. Look at that. Okay. You got one.
I've heard that. Impressed. I've heard that in our house.
Use it in a sentence.
Those shoes are bussin.
All right. We'll let that one.
Okay. I don't know. So,
that one for one. I'm shocked. All right, okay. I thought I was going to stump you. All right. Second one is simp.
Simp. It's kind of like a way to say somebody's dumb.
Oh, okay. Silly or foolish.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Like, wow, two for two.
Yeah. Okay.
Right, this might be a tough one.
Okay. Okay.
Cap.
Cap. That is, it's a,
I don't have all day.
I got nothing. I was going to say, the only thing I got is you're going to bust a cap.
No. So that's way back to our day. Oh, busting a cap, right? So no one busts a cap. We're not in Compton. All right. Okay. So cap is to lie or make a false statement.
I've heard that too.
So here's a good way the kids use it. You'll be like, hey, I like your shoes. No cap. That means I'm not lying.
Oh, like no joke.
Like no joke.
Okay. No cap. Okay.
They like to do the no cap, but cap means lie.
Right. What is that short for? Where does that come from?
I don't know. It doesn't matter, Rob. We're not here to analyze the language. We're just here to know it. This is going to help you. All right? So I trust it. Okay. You got two more.
Okay.
Next one is bet.
Bet.
Yes.
That means it's like challenge me.
No. It means sure. This happened to me at the high school. I saw one of the high school kids because I was over there, and he had on a good pair of shoes, kicks, if you will.
Yeah.
And I said, hey, I like your shoes. And he goes, bet. And then he walked off. And I was a little taken aback, but that happened. So it means yes. Yeah. So, all right. Well, you've made it all the way to the end. This is the last one I have for you.
Okay.
Drip.
Drip.
Oh.
I don't like this
one. It's a bad face.
Drip.
It has to do with style. Like he has great drip. So like if he was wearing good clothes.
Oh, okay. So it means like he's got all his style together. It all flows together. Yeah,
he's got drip.
Okay. Yeah. He's got drip.
Got a good outfit going on.
Okay.
The fit, if you will.
I didn't know if maybe it was a medical condition.
No, it could be.
That he needs to have looked at.
So, well, you got two of the five.
Does that, I don't qualify.
So do we think Rob's still cool? We don't know.
No.
So, but I was thinking about it. No. You know, we have this conversation. Mm-hmm. You know, what did our parents think of our slang?
Oh, yeah.
When we were this age.
Yeah.
Right? Because here's some 90s things that if you imagine our dads hearing, not.
Right. Oh, yeah.
We would say. Now, these may be not we used, but these were definitely in pop culture used around. So not.
Yeah.
That was a good way to someone be like, you know, Wayne's World stuff.
Yeah.
Like, hey, I like your shirt. Not. Right? Yeah. So good way to retract that. Fly. I think you mentioned that in the beginning. Money was, I regretfully say that I used that more than I should have. And I think once freaking Swingers came out, everybody was like, oh, you're so money and you don't even know it, right?
Money baby.
There was a lot of money.
Yeah.
Hella. That made it through the 90s a lot. And you could use it just for anything.
Every now and then that still comes up.
Hella good, hella
somebody
bad.
Somebody says that and I'm like, oh, that's a 90s guy.
Yeah. And last one I got is sup.
Sup.
Yeah. Shortened version of what's up.
I still use that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So see, that would have been some of the 90s slang
yeah.
that our parents, mm-hmm. like we say,
yeah.
where does Riz or Cap come from? Our parents are like, why are you saying money? Yeah.
What does that even mean?
What about the yeah. pH, fat,
yeah.
these kinds of things, right? Yeah. So, okay. All right. Well, that brings us to the end of this segment of, and I don't know if we solved it. Listeners, let us know. Do we still think Rob is cool? He knew a couple of them, but I don't know. No. I don't know if you're cool.
You cool, man?
We're not sure. Yeah. So, well, you know what is cool?
What?
After all that,
yeah.
you telling us, now that you're all excited from your gift.
I am.
What we're covering on this
shirt.
Week's
I'm
episode.
I'm excited for that shirt. I don't think it's a school appropriate shirt, though.
No.
We are talking about, in honor of women's appreciation.
History Month.
Sorry. Yes. Every month is women's appreciation.
I think
month.
Probably that's right.
Is our top 90s female artists or bands.
That is correct. Yeah. As Rob spoiled it, if you're not aware, I'm sure you all are. March is Women's History Month.
That's right.
And you just alluded to 1 month is probably not enough to celebrate women.
That's right.
But we do want to highlight it since they've made it a thing.
Yeah.
That should be all months, right?
Right.
Rob and I are in awe of all things women do and everything mm-hmm. they've contributed to the world. So we thought it would be a great thing to identify and celebrate the rise, I believe, the rise of female artists and bands in the 90s. Some of the most popular albums and biggest hits uh-huh. came from women during the decade where Rob and I went from high school to college. Mm-hmm. This is to take nothing away from the 80s. There were great female artists and bands there too, but there seemed to be an even bigger rise to stardom and recognition mm-hmm. for a lot of these mm-hmm. female-driven bands in the 90s. Mm-hmm. So Rob, when you put your head together and
yeah.
you think about it, why yeah. do you think female like rock, rap, pop, all of it took off so much in the 90s?
Oh, man.
Ooh, put him on the spot.
Wow, put me on the spot. Well, because I think culture changed, right? The women's this is probably going to be an unpopular statement. I don't know if that's the right phrase, but how women were viewed in culture or how they were viewed in popular culture and just regular culture in general, I think. And so they started to evolve a little bit. Yeah, and so they broke out of it a little bit, and you know, you had Madonna showing, you know, the sexuality became a thing. It wasn't a secret anymore.
She was doing that in the 80s too.
Yeah.
She was like the pioneer.
Right. But then, yeah, I think they busted out of the mold of what women were supposed to be, you know, based on, you know, what
society norms.
Said they were supposed to be. So that's when I think, putting together my list. That's what I was looking for, people that kind of broke away from what was common. So
yeah, I'm interested in your list. We're going to talk about that. So, well, artists like Shania Twain, Mariah Carey, Spice mm-hmm. Girls, Britney Spears, TLC dominated Billboard charts, dominated MTV, TRL mm-hmm. in the 90s. Mm-hmm. However, in the area of rock and alternative rock, there was a big rise, in my opinion, mm-hmm. of female-driven singers and bands. They seemed to gain more notoriety than they had in previous decades, particularly in the rock genre, I think, a little bit. So. Before then, I mean, what are you looking at? Heart, Aletha Ford. But really, there wasn't a ton of rock music coming from females in, you know, I guess the Go-Go's and the Bangles are more pop. Mm-hmm. So, that, you know, they want to be a little bit of rock, but they were a little bit more pop, I think. So, they were few and far between because it was mostly a boys club until the 90s. And in the 90s, bands like No Doubt, Garbage, Hole, uh-huh. many others were able to break into the mainstream and show that they could rock mm-hmm. just as much as us guys. In fact, an entire music festival was created called
The Lilith Fair.
That's right. Right? Great vehicle to highlight women in music. My wife attended that at the Gorge Amphitheater.
Did she? She did. I didn't know that.
She always likes to tell that story. She got to see Sarah McLachlan.
Oh, yeah. The whole crew.
Maybe Jewel.
Oh.
Indigo Girls. I don't know the whole roster.
Yeah.
But that seemed to be the highlight of the So. And I'll be on the record that some of my favorite songs of the 90s, which we'll visit today, mm-hmm. come from a lot of these female artists. Also, it has nothing to do with their ability to make music, and it's superficial, but 90s rock women, so hot. Well, because I was at that age, you know, I was teen going into my 20s. Mm-hmm. I loved the way they did their makeup, mm-hmm. The outfits, like the high socks, the skirts, mm-hmm. Just all of it. I was a little obsessed in the mid to late 90s with that look for sure,
right.
kind of that...
Right.
Alternative rock look, the boots,
yeah.
You know, the dresses, the little, mm-hmm. like, I forget what they call it. I think they call baby doll dresses and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah. There was something about them something about those girls seemed a little unpredictable and crazy that kind of drove me a little wild
yeah.
right there. So
Well, I think that was part of it too, right? Is that they, I think they purposely played off of the, you know, the sexual nature of, women.
Yeah.
And I think they did that on purpose. They were like, males, hey, males
were, did that too.
Male were, but they were able to do it for so long.
Well, yeah.
But, and it was acceptable.
But look at like Poison and Motley Crue. They played off their sexuality.
Yeah.
You know, Bryan Adams.
He's a heartthrob. That guy.
Is that what we're going with?
Yeah.
He's a heartthrob. George Michael.
Panty dropper.
All right.
Sorry.
You get to explain that one.
Sorry.
To the wife this week.
Sorry.
On our episode about Women's History Month. That's
really I'm a jerk. Wow.
We're trying to celebrate the ladies that's today. True. So you get to take the heat for that one.
Sorry, y'all.
So that's your own fault.
But
so when you're putting your list together.
Yeah.
What were you looking for?
I was looking for either acts or solo artists that were a little left of center, right? You know, what was common at the time and kind of broke away from.
Did you cover the whole 90s?
Or I did.
Are you more a late 90s person?
No, I tried to go a smattering.
Smattering.
From the whole decade.
Stop using big words.
Why? What
is smattering?
Smattering.
No one uses that in regular like discussion.
Well,
there's no, people aren't talking, oh, can I get a smattering of peanut butter over here? Nobody does that. All right. So
sure they just do.
Just use regular words.
Smattering.
You work with elementary age children.
A smidge.
Hey kids, can you get a smattering of glue over here so we can finish this blue duck?
This diorama.
Yeah. They do a lot of dioramas. is that a big first and second grade activity?
Yes, absolutely.
So anyway, just you can just use, it's just me.
Okay.
You can just use regular English.
I don't know what else to use.
Smattering. It's ridiculous. So, I mean, you've already ruined the show with
your sexist
joke. Jeez. On the Women's History Month.
Sorry.
Our first celebration.
We're trying to be cultured.
We tried. Yeah. We made it about 18 minutes.
Yeah.
So that's pretty good. It might be a record, actually.
I was going to say that might be a record.
We might be doing pretty well with that. Yeah. So, all right. Well, today's show is dedicated to all the amazing women in the music industry as we celebrate some outstanding songs by female. That's a word. Sorry. My eyes didn't work. As we celebrate some outstanding songs by female artists and bands of the 1990s. I want to extend something real quick. So our middle song there, that's new this year. So we brought that on board. So for all of our loyal listeners, you'll notice that it changed from last year's middle song or break song, if you will. That's from an actual song in the 90s, that tune.
Uh-huh.
We got a version that extracted the words.
That's right.
Right. So I extend to any of our listeners, if you can message us and tell us what song and artist that comes from, maybe we'll find something for you. So that goes out to everyone. We'll see if anyone can figure it out.
That's right.
I mean, it's not a great sample, but and it's not a top hit. Well, it was a decent hit, but that's fine. So you're dying over there today, aren't you?
Yeah, I'm recovering.
You were sicker last week, and now you're
it's just hanging on. I don't know what this thing is.
Yeah. Well, from female to male listeners, we welcome everyone and want to let you know that if you don't want to miss an episode of Totally 80s and 90s Recall, take a second and hit the subscribe button and then share this episode with a friend because, as the Spice Girls alluded to, sharing is in fact caring.
Mm.
By showing that you care, that friend will become a lifelong fan of this podcast, along with yourself. And Rob and I will become the celebrities that we probably deserve to be at this point, right? So
I don't know.
That's what we're hoping for.
Yeah, right.
So
right.
Yeah,
yeah.
You have little faith, huh?
Well,
we're more known than you think. Well, what is it? What is it from Anchorman? People know me.
People know me. I'm kind of a big deal.
I walk around and people know me. I've been noticed. All right. So
hey, are you that guy?
Are you that guy?
The voice.
I'm the voice.
That's right.
Right. I have been referred to. That.
The voice. Yeah.
Have you been referred to as the Robster yet or anything?
Nope.
Okay.
Nope.
Well, we're holding out hope. One of these days.
One of these days.
Well, if you're new to our podcast, Rob and I have each selected 10 songs, a top seven with a few extras, highlighting what we think were the best of what we liked back in the 90s featuring female artists and bands. Hmm. The only rules I gave Rob is that it had to be female driven and from the 90s. So I gave you a lot of rope run around with.
You did. You did. So I appreciate
that. Did you use the rope?
There's a couple picks here. Going to be like, yeah, no.
Yeah, no. Okay. I'm looking forward to that, actually. Yeah. You know, if I just agree with everything, then people are like, okay, turn it off. Yeah. Right? Okay.
I got one or two that you're going to like. We might even have one or two that are the same.
But, yeah, I was about to say, do you think our minds are anywhere on the same page on some of these?
Do you think
we'll have any crossovers?
Maybe one.
Okay, one is your guess?
There might be one.
I'll go, I'll agree with one. We'll see what happens. Yeah, I think there might be one. But I don't know.
Yeah.
There's some stuff in there that I feel like we both would have liked.
Yeah.
So there's a big possibility.
Yeah.
That could happen. So
that's possible.
Well,
and I thought there was something in the rule. It couldn't be something that we used before.
Correct.
Was that was true. Okay. That was true. And I think I did that, but I don't know. You'll let me know.
I'm sure.
You'll be like, oh, that was on episode two or whatever. You haven't memorized.
Maybe. Yeah. So episode two, I might not remember that. Episode two is sitcom, so we probably wouldn't
have any. You even know that. Look at that. So you do know these things.
All right. Those you had two rules.
But
since Robsters don't follow the rules, we'll see how far we go with this.
That's right.
And with that, Rob, do your best to get us off to a great start celebrating Women's History Month.
All right.
Remember, that's what we're doing today.
I know.
And give us your number seven song.
All right. Here's my number seven.
Janet.
It is.
I like it.
I like
Janet. She's good. And that's a good song.
Yeah.
Is that the one where she's on the beach?
Yep.
And she's kind of seductive.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah.
I really like it.
So this is Janet Jackson. Obviously, the song is Love Will Never Do Without You with 1990.
Ooh.
Did you know her real name is Janet Damita Jo Jackson?
That's something.
Yeah, there you go. She's a singer, songwriter, actress, and dancer.
The Damita Jo?
Damita Jo.
You think that's after the dad? Because the dad was Joe Jackson.
I don't know.
You didn't watch the Jackson 5?
I don't know.
He was always yelling at Tito.
Tito.
Anyway, yeah.
Yeah, those poor kids.
It's all Tito's
fault. She's a singer, songwriter, actress, and dancer known for her innovative, socially conscious, and sexually provocative records.
Ooh.
It has been said that her sound and choreography became the catalyst of the growth for MTV. She's the youngest child of the Jackson family. She appeared in, did you know that she was in The Good Times, Different Strokes, Fame?
Okay. Mm-hmm.
She was also in Poetic Justice with old Tupac there.
Tupac.
She signed her contract in 1982. And then Control and Rhythm Nation came out in 86 and 89. Those are kind of the two that really propelled her into, you know,
stratosphere.
Popularity. Yeah. In 91.
She had a smattering of hits.
There you go. See? Right. That works. Yeah, that works.
Great.
In 91, Jackson signed her first of two record-breaking multi-million-dollar contracts. Kind of established her as one of the highest paid artists in history and in the industry. By the end of the 90s, she was named by the Billboard magazine as the second most successful recording artist of the decade behind Mariah Carey, who might also make this list. We don't know. Then there was Super Bowl 38 in 2004.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. She exposed her right breast.
We know.
It was adorned with a nipple shield.
Yes.
It was exposed by old JT to the viewing public.
Yeah.
It has since been referred to as Nipplegate or Janetgate.
We've conversed about that on our text group.
Yeah. So, that's right. You and JT.
And Peebo.
And
Bacula.
Bacula. That's right. This resulted in an industry, I did not know this, an industry blacklisting for Jackson.
No.
I didn't realize that was really, that it caused her like, issues within, I didn't know that.
Well, people don't like it.
I figured
that. Middle America goes crazy.
I guess. She has sold over 100 million records. She has one of the best-selling music artists of all time. She holds the record for the most consecutive top 10 entries on the U.S. Billboard Hot 100 singles chart with 18, and that's by a female.
Ooh.
She's also the only artist in history of the to chart to have 7 commercial singles from one album, and that was Rhythm Nation.
That's a great album.
In 2008, Billboard placed her number 7 on the list of the Hot 100 all-time top artists, and in 2010 ranked her 5th among the top 50 R&B hip-hop artists of the past 25 years. In December 2016, the magazine named her the second most successful dance club artist after Madonna, another woman who might make the list.
Oh, yeah.
She has 5 Grammy Awards, 11 Billboard Music Awards, 11 American Music Awards, an Academy Award nomination, a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, 8 Guinness World Records, and in 2019, she was put into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
Rhythm Nation, probably one of my top 10, 15 favorite albums
of
all time.
There you
love that. I love Black Cat. And you know, you could have saved yourself a breath and just said legendary.
Yeah.
That just good. Covers all of it, right?
Yeah.
Well, that's a great song.
We saw her in concert.
Who did?
Well, I went with.
It wasn't we.
But I don't know if your wife went. Well, it was with Aubrey, Kurt's wife.
Yeah, I think you've mentioned this before.
And somehow we got tickets or something. I don't know. Maybe I'd forgotten that. The only thing I remember about her concert, I remember she gets this guy up on stage, puts him on a table. She like rides all over him. It's crazy. And then
got to get her exercise.
I guess.
She's showing appreciation to the audience.
Okay.
That's what you got to do.
But I think he was with a gal. Anyway, I don't know.
Well, there's gals. What are you going to do? Yeah. So, well, I think now that I look at my list and you started with Janet Jackson, my list might surprise you a little. I might have some different things.
That's what I mean. I think
you might not be ready for. Right. But we'll see. Okay. You might be ready for. All right. I think you look around and go, what's Dave going to pick?
Sometimes I do.
Because when I looked at when I looked at mine, I looked at songs that I really liked. I liked the song so much, I either bought the CD or I recorded it and listened to it over and over and over again. So these are my songs that I just had a stranglehold on me.
Yeah.
Had to listen to them all the time.
Yeah.
All right. So my number seven starts out. It's kind of it's a rock song.
Okay. See, is this Cedar?
It is not.
Oh.
Same group though.
It's a Volcano Girl.
It is.
That's Veruca Salt.
It is Veruca Salt. I love it.
I like Veruca Salt.
I also like Veruca Salt. Hence, they made the list.
Good stuff. I think
they're very good. That's a good start, right?
I like that song.
All right. So I like that lead singer's voice on this. Perfect 90s rock sounding female voice. This is an album I owned, and the band was named after the snotty Willy Wonka character that wanted everything now.
That's right.
I want it now.
I want a pony.
That's right. This was released in 1997 off their album Eight Arms to Hold You, a top 10 hit on the U.S. Billboard Modern Rock Tracks. Just mild success everywhere else. It was written by Nina Gordon, who also sang lead vocals. To promote the album and this song, Veruca Salt opened for Hole, Live, and PJ Harvey. Those would have been some really good concerts. Major players in the mid-90s rock game. Song was used in the 1999 dark comedy Jawbreaker and was featured in 2008 on Guitar Hero. I was good at Guitar Hero. The video is very interesting, a little crazy. They spend most of the video swinging from bungee cords at a concert, so they're bouncing up and down. It gets a little chaotic at times. It seems like the lead singer's trying to escape the sheets in her own bed at a couple moments, which I know can be a problem. You know, you can get tied up in there. So that happens. So.
But, does that happen often?
Who knows? Sometimes you get stuck. You don't know what's going on. So great chorus, great energy, super fun song. I love it. Every time I hear it, I turn it up. The meaning of the song captures the frustration and defiance of two young girls who refuse to conform to societal expectations. I think that ties perfect into our Women's History Month.
That's right.
Not going to conform to what you expect of me.
That's right.
This is what I'm doing.
That's right. So, that's right. I love it.
Volcano Girls.
I love it.
Yeah.
It's a great pick. Wonderful pick.
By Veruca Salt.
Veruca Salt. Love it. Well, my number six is?
Is? In Vogue.
And
I feel like you're going to go some heavy R&B for us today.
No, it's going to undulates.
I'm fine with the.
It undulates.
Again, just use regular words. No one's impressed by that.
Rob.
No one.
Get the smoker's cock. Yeah,
they're really good.
That's in Vogue.
It is
in Vogue. With Hold On. That's from 1990.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So they're an American vocal girl group. We knew that. Formed in Oakland in 89.
We knew that.
Yeah. Well, they're a girl group and they're a vocal girl group.
Everybody knows.
They reached number two in the U.S. Hot 100 with the single Hold On, the single. The group's 1992 follow-up was Funky Divas. I had that one.
Ooh, that's
reached
a good one.
The top 10 in both the U.S. and the U.K. And it had My Lovin'. You're Never Gonna Get It. Giving Him Something He Can Feel. I like that one. And
that video was great.
It was really good.
Had the long gloves and the nice, the orange dresses.
Yes. And
very sultry.
Oh, love it. Sultry. That's a good word.
That is a good
word. Free Your Mind was also on the album. In 96, Don't Let Go, parentheticals love, became the group's third and most successful single. Reached number two in the U.S., became their sixth number one on the U.S. R&B chart. In 97, the lineup began to change. Original people came, they went. In 2009, they got back together again, and then they broke up again. They've sold 20 million records worldwide, 7 MTV Music Awards, 3 Soul Train Awards, 2 American Music Awards, 7 Grammy nominations. In December of 99, Billboard magazine ranked the band as the 19th most successful recording artist of the 90s. They ranked as the second most successful female group of the 90s. In 2015, Billboard magazine named the group the 9th most successful girl group of all time. And 2 of the group's singles ranked in Billboard's most successful girl group songs of all time. Don't Let Go Love was number 12. And then Hold On came in at number 23. So,
really
En Vogue
good.
Is they... They,
another legendary, right. apparently from the 90s.
That's right.
I like En Vogue. Who didn't like them?
Yeah, the tall one. There's the tall.
Yeah, I like the tall one.
Yeah, she was cute.
And you're
I don't know who she is.
But you like the tall. I think it was tall. Like Cindy or something.
I don't know. Yeah,
but you might want to Google that. Yeah. So, well, that's a great choice. You're 2 for 2.
Hey.
I was expecting some weird songs.
No, oh, they're getting weird.
You're keeping us on the straight and narrow so
coming.
Far.
All it's right. coming.
I was hoping to avoid the weird.
No, I will
not disappoint.
I will not disappoint.
The Robsters are at home going, he just played 2 like
normal
top 10 Billboard songs. That's not normal.
No.
That's, like, what is he doing?
Just
I thought he's supposed to have a smattering of random
smattering,
artists.
See? Smattering.
Yeah. It's the word of the day. Where's
right.
my little, hey.
And then people at home are like, the true fans are going, just wait.
Just wait.
Yeah. Just wait.
He's easing us into that's it. Right. So. All right, well, my number 6, I'm going to stay in the rock. I'm going to spoil this. A lot of my list is in the rock genre, so I'm going to stay in the rock genre. Another super fun song, one that I really enjoyed listening to, also had CD, and it is, there it is.
There it is.
I found it. One.
It's not PJ Harvey.
It is not PJ Harvey.
I'm gonna be mad at myself.
You are. A lot.
I'm gonna be mad at myself.
It's okay. You can be mad at yourself.
Yeah.
I'm a little mad at myself.
Why?
Again, this week. This is my second time on the board.
On the ones and twos.
Yeah, on the ones and twos. That's Rob right. usually takes care of this, so I'm doing the music and this. And so I did make an error with
that's
the buttons, right.
that's
which
right.
is why we had that little dead air.
That's all right.
Okay. But back to the song. This is Here and Now by Letters to Cleo.
Letters
to Cleo. Ah, yes. Great. Great.
There you go.
Great band.
There
like,
you go.
Lots of fun. This sounds really 1994.
It does.
Is when it came out.
It does.
So, and if you were there, you know exactly what that means, because that's exactly what it sounded like. The song was on the album Aurora Gory Alice.
Ooh,
that's good. That is a good play on words,
I
right?
like that.
Released in 1993, but the song didn't hit till 94. A band was composed of lead singer Kay Hanley, with the rest of the band made up of male musicians. First single, I See, got a little exposure released, but later was used in an episode of the MTV cartoon Daria, This Here and Now, and then it took off. Second single, Here and Now, got a lot more exposure as it was included on... Also, the Melrose Place soundtrack. Remember the Melrose Place?
See, that's what I was going to say. This sounds like a song that would have been on a soundtrack.
A show.
A TV show soundtrack or a movie soundtrack.
It was good. Yeah. And Letters to Cleo was
like a teen rom-com or something.
Well, they were featured prominently in the 1999 movie, 10 Things I Hate About
You. That's what I'm thinking of right there.
So that's there as well.
Yep.
So. Song reached number 10 on the Billboard Modern Rock Singles chart, peaked at 56 on the U.S. Hot 100. Not a lot of success anywhere else. Letters to Cleo, as I just said, also in movies, as you alluded to, 10 Things I Hate About You. Aside from Melrose Place and 10 Things, they also had a song appear on the Kraft soundtrack.
Mm,
remember the Kraft?
I do.
The Witches.
Also like good a one. 90s teen 96,
perfect.
Girls.
Yeah. Good. This is obviously a pretty catchy song, but I always like the fast part in the chorus. We didn't get that because I messed up the buttons today, but... At the end, folks, you can go to the playlist and you can listen to that fast
that's
part. And
right.
I promise
it's great.
You're going to like it. For years, I had no idea what she was saying, but with the invention of the internet, I can now sing along. Fun fact, the band's name came from the fact that the lead singer had a pen pal named Cleo when she was younger and kept the letters in a box labeled Letters to Cleo.
Oh, that's clever.
That is clever.
That's really
good. Yeah.
Man. And that's a great way to come up with a band name.
It's a great way.
Yeah.
I think it's a great way.
Where are we at? My number 5.
Where are we at? Your number 5.
My number, I think I'm dialed up. Yeah, here we go. My number 5.
No? Yep, really good.
Yeah. This is the Cranberries.
This is the Cranberries.
Yeah. This is 92.
Yeah, it's good. I like when she does that.
Yeah. And a lot of the songs like that yodel. We picked a couple other Cranberry songs in some other lists. So I followed the rules and I didn't use them.
Very good.
Zombies been used several times.
Several. I think once or twice.
I think it was on a 90.
It was on a 94 alternative, 94 for sure. I don't remember it another time.
Maybe we did.
I think you've got me beat on that one. There's that yodel.
Yeah, there it is. Like, love it.
I really
So this is the Cranberries, 92. The song's called Dreams. They were an Irish rock band formed in Limerick, Ireland.
You said that right?
I think so. Limerick? Limerick? I think it's Limerick.
Like a joke?
I think so.
Limerick.
Yeah, I know. I apologize to the Irish. But that was 89. Yeah. They were originally named The Cranberry Saw Us. Did you know that? That was the name of their band. They're classified
like
themselves.
Sauce?
No, Saw Us. The Cranberry Saw Us. S-A-W-U-S. Yeah. Saw Us.
Is that a play on sauce?
I don't know.
Okay.
Saw Us? Cranberry sauce?
I believe you.
Sauce? Maybe that was? Anyway.
Maybe.
That's dumb. I'm glad they changed their name. The band classified themselves as an alternative rock group, but incorporated aspects of indie rock, jangle pop, dream pop, folk pop, post-punk, and pop rock.
That's too many descriptions.
Yeah.
Come on, just pick one.
Narrow it down. Their second album, No Need to Argue, 94, this is the one that brought us Zombie. And that's the one. Yeah, that's... Shot him in the stratosphere.
Took off.
Yeah. 2018, Orion died from drowning.
Yes.
Due to alcohol intoxication. And that's sad.
That's too
sad. Then the band broke up. They didn't even try to stay together.
No.
The Cranberries were one of the best-selling alternative acts of the 90s. They sold nearly 50 million albums worldwide in 2019. In their career, they won an Ivor Novello Award, a Juno Award, an MTV Europe Music Award, a World Music Award, were nominated for a Brit Award. They won a Grammy Award, and the music video for Zombie made the Cranberries the first Irish band to reach 1 billion views on YouTube.
On the YouTube.
There you go.
You know, your first three have all just had like accolades on top of accolades today.
That's right. The ladies. There. The ladies.
What I think of that song Yeah, my some of our other buttons now aren't
They're working.
So I did something bad over here at this point. So if I push like excellent, it doesn't do anything. There's no noise. I don't know if something that I pushed something down that should be up or what's going on. Yeah, but we lost it. So our pre-positioned buttons.
Time out.
Obviously, I have made a big mistake, folks. I was over here pushing things up and down, and he comes over and immediately fixes it. So you know who trained me on this was
Kip.
Rob. Oh, so we're going to go ahead and blame him. Kip has the day off. Rob trained me on this, and he didn't train me good. Everyone out there with these delays, you can go ahead and blame Rob.
Excellent.
Yes, you blame him because it's not me. I'm trying my best over here.
That's all right.
So maybe it's just my job to talk.
It's complicated.
I shouldn't be trying to. I shouldn't be trying to multitask. It's not working. Very well at all. So, all right. Well, that takes me to my number five song. Another rock song. And I love this song. This is just great. See if you know this one.
Whoa. Oh, she gets really mad.
This is
not PJ Harvey.
It's not PJ Harvey. That's your go-to.
Give me the first letter.
Of what?
Of her name.
Yeah. Just like you do to me.
Not Meredith Brooks.
Everything's fine.
Yes. What is first letter? Give it to me.
Yeah. Bye. I'm freezing. I'm starving.
I'm bleeding to death. Yeah. Come on. What is her name?
I'm about to. I'll share it with everyone.
Fine.
So this is "Mother, Mother" by Tracy Bonham.
Tracy
Bonham. Oh, he should have had it, folks.
Yeah.
The chorus in this song, awesome. The way she screams, everything's fine. It's just, it's everything.
This
it's
is great. My favorite song you've picked today.
Oh,
I like this song. Yeah,
you like this one better than the other two.
I do.
Okay. Released March of '96, hit number one on the U.S. Modern Rock Tracks, making it the last song until 2013's "Royals" by Lorde to hold number one by a female solo artist.
No.
On that chart. That's pretty good. Good for you, Tracy Bonham. The song and the album were each nominated for a Grammy, but lost both to Sheryl Crow and Beck. So those are tough.
That seems...
You know, song is basically a phone call between a mother and her daughter who has moved away from home. Bonham said the song is an ode to people pleasing things you say to your family, but then the hard, grittier chorus represents that life is, in fact, very difficult.
There you go. See, that's kind of breaking away from the
norms.
Yeah, the norms. Yeah. That's good. Yeah. She's very angry.
She is. Bonham said the screaming I like so much took such a toll on her vocal cords during touring. She had to cancel several shows and relearn how to scream the chorus without damaging her voice.
Ah.
So it wasn't working too well, but she figured it out. Two versions of the video were shot. One for MTV showed the mother and it was a little darker, but VH1 had to have a more friendly video. So they shot a second one where they're in a closet and they're like changing into clothes and the vibe of the video doesn't match the vibe of the song. They tried to make it look carefree and fun. And I don't know if the song's carefree and fun.
It's not carefree.
It's not. So the VH1 video, not so good. The MTV video, pretty good.
That seems about right.
So fun fact, Rob Bonham was born and raised in Eugene, Oregon.
Excellent.
Oh, look at that. Seems about right. Those people from Eugene, they're angry.
They're angry?
Yeah.
No, I've met no one from Eugene that's angry. Mm. They're usually very mellow, if we're getting our vibe there.
I don't know. Maybe.
They use a smattering of the marijuana.
This is true. I did it.
The University of Oregon is notorious for that, as it turns out.
Yeah. Am I number four?
Number four. Yeah, it's your turn.
It's our crossover.
Already? Oh, you went with that one too.
Yeah, I love this song.
All right, you said one, right?
Yeah, we did say one.
So why would you say that the last song was the favorite song I played so far if you were going to play this one and you picked this one? This would be your favorite.
I wish I would have picked that one. That's good. I missed that one.
You missed it?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So this is
a crossover.
Yeah, a crossover.
It's a good crossover.
It is.
It's a good song. Can't hate on, hate on having it at all.
No, I like it. Okay. The only thing new that I have.
He's always back, got folks. A little new, yeah, folks.
I will tell you. So the album before Eight Arms to Hold You.
Yes.
Was called American Thighs. Ooh. So that was pretty good. And then they tried to promote it. So there was a song from that one that was called Seether.
Yes, I like
that. That was kind of what they're known for.
I was between those two songs.
Yeah. Yep. So then they were going to put out a second single called Number One Blind. But the band wasn't sure about the video. They pulled it from MTV. Well, then that caused kind of the promotion for that album to kind of go, stopped. Yeah. So they did this stopgap EP, which was called Blow It Out Your Ass. It's Veruca Salt.
Ooh.
That's awesome. I like that. Yeah. Yep. But anyway, Veruca Salt performed another single on Saturday Night Live. It was called Shutterbug.
No.
Instead of the featured musical group performing two songs, as had been a tradition, the musical performance were split between Sting and Veruca Salt.
That's weird.
Isn't that weird?
Was he hosting?
I don't know.
He had to have been hosting. Maybe.
This change was announced at the last minute between the dress rehearsal and the live show at the behest of Sting to producer Lorne Michaels. Nina Gordon claimed that the band was erroneously introduced by Sting as Veronica Salt.
Oh,
but this appears to have been replaced in reruns with rehearsal footage when the correct name was used.
Well, that's nice. At least they fixed it.
I don't know that happened. Are they the only time that they've ever had where they haven't done both shows?
I don't know.
Are they the, anyway.
You did the research.
I don't know.
This was yours. Why don't you tell me?
I don't know.
So it's funny you picked that song because I figured you were going to take Veruca Salt. Because I remember a time in my life that you said you liked Veruca Salt.
I do. I like them.
So I had Seether down and I was going to go Seether and I'm like, I think Seether's the more rocky, deeper song.
Yeah.
I go, so that's the one Rob will go with.
Yeah.
So I'm going to go with the little poppier rocker version. I'm going to go Volcano Girls.
I know, I looked at
and Seether. Then here you come a running down the street with the same song, right? So the one time I get inside your head
and
try to establish what you're going to do, you go 50 degrees the other direction.
It's best you just not go in there.
You're just a copycat.
I am.
That's all it is.
There's very little in my life that I've done that I can say, that's original.
Well, and most of our listeners, particularly Robsters, will be like, how do you two have the same song? Because there's often we are like, stink face for each other's songs, right?
That's true.
Except for some mutual bands, there is an argument to be made that we have some wildly different tastes.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
But of course, you had to go with this one just to smite me, oh mighty smiter.
That's right.
All right. Well, that takes me to my number four.
Number four.
That was your number four. It was my number four.
Yeah.
Another rock song, Rob. Mm-hmm. You're not surprised.
Oh.
And it's going to rock your face.
It's whole.
It is whole. You got it right this time.
Is this Celebrity Skin?
No.
No?
Good try. Is that the one you know?
No. I know Doll Parts. I know Doll Parts. What's the name of that song?
It is called Violet.
Ah,
by Hole. Yeah. Is Courtney Love crazy? Absolutely.
Oh, she's a number.
Does this song rock? Absolutely. Yeah. And you know what? As crazy as she is, this is a great song, and she was a great rock singer.
Oh, yeah.
Her offstage stuff can be as wacky as you want it to be, but she could sing, and this was a really well-put-together rock song. It was released February of 1995, despite the fact that it had been written and performed regularly since 1991. Hmm. The song was inspired by Love's tumultuous relationship with Smashing Pumpkins frontman Billy Corgan.
I forgot that.
Right, in 1995, on a British television show, she introduced Violet by saying, "This is a song about a jerk. I hexed him, and now he's losing his hair." And he was losing his hair at the time, which now he does his signature shave his head. So Love states she wrote the song after hearing 5 songs off of Nevermind, and she was so jealous of all those songs that she had to try one that to write one that topped them.
Uh-huh.
So that's her defense. I love the song, but in my opinion, it doesn't top anything on Nevermind. So she can have whatever she thinks about that, but really good song, or any Nirvana album. Yeah, she didn't top any of those songs, but she did really good. Blender Magazine ranked it number 116 on the 500 greatest songs since you were born.
Wow.
Rolling Stone wrote of Violet, "With its daydream whispers and startling gunshot guitar chorus, Violet shakes, rattles, and roars like a godless marriage of Smells Like Teen Spirit and Fleetwood Mac's Go Your Own Way."
Wow.
That is quite a
that's good writing.
That's a like mouthful, that. Right? Yeah. The lyric, "They get what they want and never want it again," resonated with a lot of women in the 90s, as they often felt perceived as conquests more than equal partners.
Ah, see?
There you go. That's right. Overall, great song. Aged really well. I think it still sounds good. Still rocks. Yeah. Sounds awesome. And again, her voice, she has a great rock voice.
Yeah.
So she's a nutbag. Great rock voice. Oh,
she's a nut bird. Holy cow. Yeah. Great song.
Great All song. Right. Did you have that one too?
I do not have that one.
Oh, okay. No. I would have been spoiling that ahead of time. We're not supposed to spoil these.
No, I don't.
But the you sometimes you go, great song. And then great later you're song. Like, here's our thinking crossover. I've developed a knowledge of your tones at this point.
That's why I don't play poker. Because people would be like,
yeah, you'd be back.
I'm like, oh, these are good. Yeah. These are so good.
Just give everyone your money immediately.
Yeah. Like, this jackass. my number three.
Number three.
My number three is...
Ooh. Oh. I hear it. Here we go. Fiona Apple. I'm not going to stump you with that one.
That's right.
It's really good.
Yep, I like
it's
this.
It's very somber.
Yep, I like this whole album. Really good.
Well, who didn't like the whole album? Everyone really liked the whole album.
Yeah,
shocker, folks. People like Fiona Apple's album. It won all kinds of awards.
It did,
and
actually.
Everything.
Yeah, so this is Shadowboxer.
Way out on a limb here to go.
Shadowboxer, 96.
Yeah. All right.
Her real name is Fiona Apple McAfee McGart.
Come on, you can do it.
I don't know. She's got a weird name.
You didn't do it.
She was born in 77, so she's my age. Anyway, American singer-songwriter. She released 5 albums from 96 to 2020, all of which reached the top 20 on the U.S. Billboard 200 chart. She received numerous awards and nominations, including she has 3 Grammy Awards, 2 MTV Music Video Music Awards, and a Billboard Music Award. The youngest daughter of actor Brandon McGart. I looked him up. I don't... He's not a big actor.
No.
No, I tried to...
Okay.
He was in like some like cheesy horror flicks and stuff.
Or infomercials.
No, I don't think
maybe he was chopping up with the Ronco.
I don't think so.
All right.
She's a classically trained pianist. Pianist.
Ooh. Yes. Get the word right.
Yeah, pianist. That's a tough one.
No, it's not. You're making it tougher than it needs to be.
That could go wrong. No. She began composing her own songs when she was 8 years old. Her debut album, Title, which is what this is from, received a Grammy Award for Best Female Rock Vocal Performance for the single Criminal, different song.
Yeah.
Her second album was certified platinum.
Yep.
Her third album was certified gold and nominated for a Grammy Award for Best Pop Vocal Album. In 2012, she released her 4th album, which received critical praise and was nominated for the Grammy Award for Best Alternative Music Album. Uh-huh. Her 5th studio album was released in 2020 to universal acclaim, earning 2 Grammy Awards, Best Alternative Music Album and Best Rock Performance for Lead Single. She got an MTV Video Music Award for Best New Artist in a Video for a song,
with
Sleep
all
to
the
Dream.
Accolades, all your
Won
songs.
Won the
accolades.
California Music Award for Outstanding Female Vocalist, and she got the ESCY Music Award for Best Songbird.
Yes.
I don't even know what that is.
I don't either.
I didn't go
too
deep.
But it's great.
Yeah, love that song.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Very good. So, and she, yeah, her stuff was really
was
different. And
it was, but it was really good.
Yeah, love it.
So, so far you're kicking butt today.
Kicking butt.
You picked a song that I picked, so that was already an A+. And then the other ones have been solid.
All right.
Okay. So you're doing a good job.
I'm doing a good job.
He needs reassurance.
I'm staying
reassurance, folks.
Pretty close to the...
Pretty close to what?
To the... Like, I'm not straying too far.
Yeah, I know. You're going to disappoint the fans. We're going to get some things like, thought for sure you'd get Bjork in there or something. And
just wait. I still have,
we have time
several more picks.
We have time for Bjork. Yeah. So, well, my number three song comes from a very... probably my biggest artist so far, because my other one's been big artist, but she's probably the biggest, most popular artist.
Cyndi Lauper.
From the yes, it was. It was Cyndi Lauper's resurgence in the 90s.
Oh, good song. Man, this song brings back memories. This was on the radio. We're cruising around in high school.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
This is high school.
Tuesday Night Music Club.
Oh, yeah. There's a lot going on there. But I didn't write down all the things like you do. I'm going to say it's a great album.
There you go.
Brought her a lot of success.
It's a great album. That's all I hear when I hear you say that.
She had a great album.
That's right.
That'd be, I feel like that's what Al would say to her. Yeah. Cheryl, I like that album.
It was great.
Got a great album. all right. 94 was the year I graduated high school. That year, there were two female-driven songs that I listened to nonstop. Mm. Stay by Lisa Loeb, which is a great song, and This, which is All I Want to Do by Sheryl Crow.
That's right. That's good.
Unfortunately, Lisa Loeb didn't make my list, but good song, but just outside of what I was able to put together. I got some better stuff. You're going to see.
I think
you're going to agree. So.
All right. Well,
it didn't make my list, though. I felt like every time I was over at Ryan's house, this video would be on MTV. And like you just said, the local station Z100, it was just on every
time
I got in the car. 20 times a day they played that song. Despite constant rotation, I never got sick of it. And it's really catchy.
It is catchy.
I mean, if you really listen to it, it's just a catchy song. Hit number 2 on the U.S. Hot 100 for 6 consecutive weeks. Could not crack number 1 as it was blocked by who, Rob? Think 94. Who would have blocked her?
Celine Dion.
Celine Dion. Come on. It was Boys to Men's I'll Make Love to You, which stayed atop 14 consecutive weeks.
Right. That makes sense.
Nobody was getting up there. So it won Grammys for Record of the Year, Best Female Pop Vocal Performance in 1995. Also nominated for Song of the Year, but lost. This is upsetting. Bruce Springsteen's Streets of Philadelphia.
I disagree with that.
Boo. Yeah. I'm not a big fan of that song.
I don't mind the boss, but I didn't like that song.
So the song went 3 times platinum in Australia. All Friends Down Under. Yeah. Saw Friends Down Under with big Sheryl Crow fans.
Yeah.
This is what I imagine. I'm going to offend my Australian fans.
Here we go.
She's a beauty. Even better looking than Hugh Jackman or Kylie Minogue.
Hey, Jackman.
You're like, you hear the new Sheryl Crow song, mate? It's a cracker of a record. I watched a lot of YouTube to try and perfect that.
You did. I can tell.
Yeah,
you did.
Good.
You just
that's
did that.
Yeah. Hugh Jackman.
Hugh Jackman.
By the way, the bartender, what I like about the song is the bartender's actively reading the want ads at noon on a Tuesday.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming he's not happy with his employment. I mean,
it's very specific in the song. Like they're shining and waxing their.
No, I figured this out. Bartender.
Yeah.
It's Brian Flanagan.
So
Cocktails and Dreams is on the downside.
It comes back to
he's only got a couple of customers on a Tuesday afternoon, and he's like, it's 94. I've wasted 6 years of my life being a damn bartender.
Yeah.
It's time to do something else.
Man,
so young Flanagan's reading the one ads, and he's like, I got to get out of here. Like, I got to do something new.
The synapses in your brain. You make the connections you make.
What's wrong with those connections?
I don't know.
I can just see it. They're drinking beers noon on a Tuesday.
Yeah,
you know Flanagan. They're like, no, we don't need another poem. Yeah. just get us the beer.
Yeah, you're
we'll just watch. We're just gonna watch the car wash and all the other things.
When you die, I think they're gonna study your brain and they're gonna find that.
I mean, they probably should.
They probably should.
There's a lot going on in there. So. All right. Well, that takes us to your number two, mate.
So my number two is not a crossover. It's a similar artist. That's fine. Have not had a crossover artist yet.
Oh, okay.
But here's our first crossover artist.
All right. Oh, you went with Doll Parts.
I love that.
I knew it from the first note. I didn't know Violets, but I did.
That's why I started from the beginning.
So great.
My notes say from the beginning.
From the beginning. Okay. Yeah, it's...
Beautiful song. Okay.
I've never heard anyone refer to this as beautiful, but I can see that.
I do. I think it's a great album.
It's a great album.
Unfortunately, her craziness...
I put that aside. This album is... You can put this album up against a lot of rock albums in the 90s.
I agree.
I think it holds up just as good as any others.
I'll bet
there's a lot of girls from the 90s that this was like a pivotal album in their life.
That's right.
I'm just going out on a limb.
I remember listening to this because my sister had it. I think you're right. I think it spoke to a lot of females.
Spoke to a lot.
Yeah. So this is Courtney Love with Hole, Doll Parts. Was an American, they were an American rock band formed in Los Angeles, California in 89.
Los Angeles.
Founded by Courtney Love.
Yes.
Hole released a total of four studio albums between two incarnations spanning the 1990s and early 2010s and became one of the most commercially successful rock bands in history, fronted by a woman.
Yep. Yeah.
Their second album, Live Through This, was released in 94. It had some punk, some grunge, some pop music.
It was
widely acclaimed, reaching platinum status within a year of its release. Then they had Celebrity Skin. The album sold around 2 million copies and earned them significant critical acclaim. They broke up in 2002. Then she reformed, got some other people, and they put out another album. But anyway, Hole received several accolades, including four Grammy Award nominations, selling over 3 million records in the United States alone. Music and feminist scholars have also recognized the band as the most high-profile music group of the 1990s to discuss gender issues in their songs due to Love's aggressive and violent lyrical content, which often addressed themes of body image, abuse, and sexual exploitation.
Oh.
So I thought...
Yeah.
She's fitting for this list.
She is. Yeah, she deserves. She showed up twice already.
Hole deserves to be on this.
That doesn't sound good the way you said that. But I will say that she also deserves what I gave to Sheryl Crow. That's a crack of a record.
Okay. Right? So. You just need to stop.
She's a beauty.
Oh, crap. Doubles down. Just doubles down. We're just
I kind of want to do that voice the rest of the podcast.
I really don't.
One X song, mate.
I think our PR department is waving... you off. They're saying,
stop.
Stop.
All right.
There's a big red flashing light.
Fine. You're never any fun. All right. So my number two is a song title we've already had.
Oh.
But it is the better version of the song title.
Oh.
And also from the same year, 1990.
Ooh.
Listen to these drums real quick.
What year is this from?
1990.
Oh.
Come on. The better hold
this
on.
This sucks.
You are wrong, sir. This is the song right here.
Okay.
Look how inspirational it is. I love this song, and I'm not being sarcastic. I love this song.
I don't think there's anybody at home going denying that. You love this song.
I do. I mean, listen to that. Everyone loves this
song. My wife likes this song.
Everyone loves this song. You're the only one. For some reason,
no. I'm putting together a playlist, and this one is going to come on. Skip.
Negative.
Yeah.
All right. This is "Hold On" by Wilson Phillips, top single for all of 1990, released in February of that year. Nominated for two Grammys, one for Song of the Year, which they lost to. You're gonna like this, Rob.
They lost to
Bette Midler's "From a Distance." That's gross, by the way.
Okay, I'm sorry. I take it back.
The other nomination was for
this
best.
This is a better song than that.
The other nomination was for best pop performance by a duo or group, which they lost to Linda Ronstadt and Aaron Neville. So I can. China Phillips. All right. She wrote the song while battling substance abuse, and the lyrics are based off of the principles taught in Alcoholics Anonymous.
Oh.
So. Things will go your way. Got to hold on for one more day. All right.
It's got a message.
Song went platinum in Australia and the UK. Oh. Gold in the US. Is the song a little cheesy? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it super catchy? Hells yeah. All right. It's one of the better pop songs you're going to listen to. It makes you feel good.
Very nostalgic. It's hella catchy.
Hella catchy.
Yeah, that's
right. I like that. Yeah. See, we're incorporating what we said earlier.
That's right.
Hella catchy. All right. Makes you feel good. Very nostalgic to the early 90s. This is big when I was a freshman in high school. I remember it most now. It was featured in Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle. They had one of those Tommy Boy moments where this song comes on and they're like, well, you can change it. Well, you can change it. And then they're hitting the drums.
That's right.
Yeah. So it's great. Makes me laugh every time. They also use it in the movie Bridesmaids. At the end, they play a song. They actually appear in the movie. They use it in a memorable and funny way. And that's why, you know, I can remember it that way now. Also, the drum solo, which I talked about multiple times in the middle of the song, reminds me of the drums in Phil Collins' Song in the Air Tonight. Mm. So they're one and two right there. 1-1A, probably close. So remember, Rob, Hold On isn't just a song. It's a musical pep talk that makes you feel like you can conquer the world one scrunchie at a time.
That's possibly the stupidest thing.
Are you kidding? I wrote that down. That was a quote.
I know you wrote it down.
That was a quote I found online.
One scrunchie at a time.
One scrunchie at a time.
That sounds like something you wrote.
It was like a review somebody wrote. I like scrunchies, though. I used to, you know, the girls, they'd have them on the wrist.
I know what a scrunchie.
Are you sure?
I think they're kind of coming back.
It's kind of a cute thing. They had it on the wrist. You know, they can throw the hair up in the ponytail.
Yeah. Okay.
It's quite mobile.
Quite mobile.
Right? So I didn't have to use one. I didn't have a long hair in the 90s.
Very utilitarian.
It was. Yeah. I don't know if people like that word as much. So.
Well, it's useful.
All right. That gets us through our top six each, which means we have to go to a little place we like to call.
Oh my gosh. Did you see the way he looked at me?
I did. That's crazy. Oh my gosh. What is that?
That is totally like a cut line.
Oh my gosh.
All right, so Rob, for all of our listeners out there, we have multiple cut line songs.
Yeah.
But your daughters got together on this one. They thought it would be fun to give us a present and test it out in the world. Mm-hmm. So we're testing it out in the world.
Yeah.
We put it out there.
We'll let it run. We'll see.
I applaud their effort. They're trying to be, they're trying to help the show.
Yeah.
What's wrong with that? They're having some fun. That's what the show's about. Having some fun.
They got in front of the microphone and
they did it.
You said at the beginning, it's no worse than anything we've recorded.
So, on the cut line, Rob and I find it very difficult often to pick just seven songs. So we have a couple extra we like to call that make the cut. There are two cuts, and then we have what we call an honorable mention. It's a song that maybe we didn't listen to the first time, or we found later, and we just fell in love with. But this gives us an opportunity to play three more songs really want to know how it breaks down.
Yeah.
But what it does mean is it should be the first two songs that just couldn't make your top seven.
Yeah.
So what is your first cut, Rob?
My first cut is...
To a country.
I did.
There's so many country songs. My baby loves me just the way this one's okay.
And
not great, but it's okay. You want a dog on my Wilson Phillips a little bit out?
I know.
The way the playlist was setting up, this just all of a sudden is like a sore thumb in the middle of it. Okay, so. It like doesn't go. Is this Martina McBride?
It is Martina McBride.
I like it's Martina.
1993. So it's kind of the, you know, the apex of 90s country.
Apex.
She's an American country singer songwriter.
She is.
She's known for her soprano singing range and her country pop material. She signed her first record in 91, made her debut the following year as what they called a neo-traditionalist country singer, and then she developed into more of the pop style, like Shania Twain, Faith Hill. She had a string of major hits. Five of her singles went to number one on the country chart between 95 and 2001, and one peaked at number one on the adult contemporary chart in 2003.
I do like Martina McBride. Mm-hmm. And I featured Independence Day on my list on our country songs volume one. I believe
that's the one that went to number one.
That is. And much better song than this one.
It is. Yeah, that's good. She has 14 studio albums, 2 greatest hits compilation, 1 live album, as well as 2 additional compilation albums, 8 of her studio albums, and 2 of her compilations have a gold certification. In the U.S., she has sold over 14 million albums. She has won the Country Music Association Award by Female Vocalist of the Year Award 4 times. She's tied with Reba McEntire for the 3rd most wins. Academy of Country Music's Top Female Vocalist Award 3 times, and she also is a 14-time Grammy Award nominee.
I will say, your list of songs much more award-worthy than my list.
That's all right. So that we have different ways of approaching our work. It's cool.
I mean, it's not Hold On's fault. They lost From a Distance. Like, who voted for that song of the year was Bette Midler's From a Distance?
Yeah, I do. I do. Ugh. Yeah, that does a mess.
Whoever was voting on that, she must like sent flowers to their
Bette Midler
dressing room or something.
How do you say no to Bette Midler?
Very easily. As soon as I hear From a Distance,
no.
Immediately that's go right. away. So, that's right. Well, unlike that song, my first cut is a great song, R&B song. I think my first R&B on the countdown.
Oh, okay. So bring me happiness. No. Oh, Toni Braxton.
We know we like her on the show. We both do. Everyone knows your exploits with Toni.
I know. Oh, I won't say it anymore.
Look at this. You can say it all you want.
No.
I'll talk about Belinda Carlisle and them till the cows come home.
That's right. Oh. Wasn't she likes pancakes for breakfast? I think that's what we learned.
Look at that. And you mean so much to me.
Shooby dooby.
I think this song is good in both ways.
That's right.
The person means so much to me. You mean the world to me. This is perfect.
Okay.
And this is You Mean the World to Me by Toni Braxton. Great song, timeless classic. And we've talked about Braxton's talent several times on the podcast to include the love of pancakes, Rob. This is a cut. Tough to leave off the top 7, but my top 7 were really good. As I listened to this CD in 93-94, I was all over this CD. I listened to it all the time. I think we featured all of the major hits at this point on our countdowns off of that CD. This was the 4th single off her self-titled album. The song itself being released in April of 94. This song just reminds me of my senior year in high school. I felt like it's kind of like All I Want to Do with Sheryl Crow. It's kind of on the radio a lot. It was everywhere. Song spent a total of 31 weeks on the Billboard Hot 100, peaking at number 7. Billboard, sorry, folks. Billboard referred to it as a warm and fuzzy ballad, and Cashbox said it was a down-tempo soul burner that actually brings Toni closer to the style of Whitney Houston.
Ooh.
So that's what they're doing.
Okay.
Overall, the song makes you feel good. It's fun to belt out, and this song is described as a warm hug wrapped in a smooth R&B melody. It's one of those songs that hits you right in the feels, whether you're deeply in love or nursing a broken heart.
Wow.
Yeah.
Man.
Are you saying man?
I wish I could write like that. That's good.
It's not so hard.
Was it a warm blanket? What is it?
You want it again?
Yeah, I want the warm blanket part.
It's described as a warm hug.
A warm hug.
Wrapped in a smooth R&B melody.
Oh, that's really good. I'll say it
like more NPR-ish, right? It's one of those songs that hits you right in the feels, whether you're deeply in love or nursing a broken heart.
So dumb.
All right.
My second cut.
Your second cut.
Most controversial on the list, probably.
Oh. If it's by a male artist, you're getting thrown out of the studio.
that would have been funny. I would have got like a, that's pretty good.
You're just tossed out.
Yeah. Okay. You're not going to know it. You're going to hate it.
Melissa Etheridge?
No.
Is it Bonnie Raitt?
No.
I'll just go to...
I looked at Bonnie Raitt.
Patti Smyth?
Kind of in that vein.
It sounds country-ish again.
It is. It does. Okay. Sound very country.
Alison Krauss? Can't find a damn thing in this. I feel like I've heard that voice, though.
Yeah. She's been around.
It's Tanya Tucker. I'm going to be upset. I'm tired of the Tanya Tucker.
Nope.
She's a dish or whatever you guys call her.
She's a dish. She's a fox.
She's a fox. Yeah.
Anyway, all right. So this is a singer. Her name is Lucinda Williams.
Yes.
So she's an American singer-songwriter and solo guitarist. She's been around. Her first album came out in 79. I didn't hear about her till later in life.
Of course not.
She's a traditional. She came out as kind of a traditional country and blues artist and then kind of turned into Americana kind of thing.
Like it.
But a lot of her records are, it's an Americana classic. Her third album in 88 featured a song called Passionate Kisses, which was covered by Mary Chapin Carpenter.
Oh, yeah.
It was a very popular
Mary Chapin. Yeah,
that's right. And that got her a Grammy Award for Best Country Song in 94. So that was her first one. Oh, it also featured, that album featured a song called Change the Locks, which was covered by Tom Petty on his soundtrack to the 1996 movie She's the One. We've talked about that.
We have.
Yeah. So then a lot of our albums are just commercial, not initially commercial breakthroughs, but they were acclaimed by critics. Among her various accolades, she has won 3 Grammy Awards, 17 nominations, received 2 Americana Awards from 11 nominations. She was ranked 97 on VH1's 100 Greatest Women in Rock and Roll in 1999, was named America's Best Songwriter by Time Magazine in 2002. In 2015, Rolling Stone ranked her as 79th Greatest Songwriter of All Time. In 2017, she received the Berklee College of Music Honorary Doctorate for Music degree. She's ranked number 91 on Rolling Stone's 100 Greatest Country Artists of All Time. This album that this song came from, the song is called Car Wheels on a Gravel Road. Was ranked number 97, and her album Lucinda Williams ranked number 426 on the Rolling Stones 500 Greatest Albums of All Time. She was inducted into the Austin City Hall Limits Hall of Fame in 2001, and then in the same year, Passionate Kisses ranked 437 on Rolling Stones 500 Greatest Songs of All Time.
So you listened to this in the 90s. This sounds more like an honorable mention than it should have been a cut.
It should have been. But my honorable mention is even more of an honorable mention.
Hooray.
Yeah.
Can't wait for that, right?
No,
you know, all these artists in the 90s, Mariah Carey, Shania Twain,
No, don't like them.
Very popular acts.
I don't like them.
And Salt and Pepper and nothing. You go with
Lucinda Williams.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because she inspired people like Sheryl Crow.
Okay.
You listen to Sheryl Crow? She's trying to be Lucinda Williams.
Yeah. I mean, that's what you say.
That's right. So,
my second cut.
Yeah.
Is, I think this might surprise you, actually. I'm going to guess this is going to surprise you.
Is this Tori Amos?
It is. Good job.
Not shocked.
I told you, you'd be surprised.
This is that weird video.
It is a weird video.
It's like all white or something. And she's like
a little bit
on the piano. She's like, it's like things are.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff going on.
Yeah.
But she's on the piano.
This is a catchy song though. That's right.
So you got it right. This is Tori Amos.
Yeah.
Surprised, right?
I am.
I think I was a Tori Amos type.
Never would have gone there.
I do like this. Okay. So this is Cornflake Girl.
Yeah.
By Tori Amos.
Okay.
Not a Tori Amos person. Yeah. I've tried to listen to multiple other songs. Has not worked out.
Okay.
But this song is really good.
That's right. I figured you would have like pulled out a Paula Cole or something like that.
No. Come on.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, I bought this CD and then the rest of it's a little out there.
Yeah.
So, but very popular. So, I understand her popularity. She made the kind of music that spoke to a lot of fans in the 90s.
Yeah.
Kind of what her songs don't speak to me. She's more women oriented, which is great.
Mm-hmm.
All that being said, really cool sounding song. I think it's different. I think it's cool. I remember hearing this for the first time in quite a bit on Portland's alternative station, 94.7.
Oh.
All right. Cruising in the Tercel. This is Amos's most commercially recognizable song, inspired by the subject of female circumcision and mutilation in Africa. So really somber topic.
Yeah.
So the song doesn't match the material she's writing about. So it gives me a different feeling now when I sing along with it.
She's using the platform to, that's good. All right.
She has a unique delivery in her singing. Overall, it's a pretty memorable song. Definitely feels like the late mid 90s, right? Blender Magazine included Cornflake Girl on their list of the 500 greatest songs since you were born, placing it at number 433.
Wow. So,
pretty good. Doesn't have all the accolades that your folks do, but Tori Amos.
Wow.
How do you feel about that?
That was out of left field.
Really?
Yeah, I did not see that.
That's shocking, huh?
Yeah.
I can't listen to Tori Amos?
You can listen to whatever you
want. You're listening to Lucinda Williams.
We're liberated men. You can listen to whatever. You can listen to whatever you want.
All right.
That's
fine. I do like some Mariah Carey too, since you were bashing on that.
I just can't.
I have none on my countdown.
I can't stand her.
I
don't.
That seems a little aggressive.
I know.
Right? A smattering of Mariah doesn't hurt anybody. All right?
All right.
All right.
All right.
It's time for your honorable mention.
My honorable
mention. Since your last one, apparently you have two honorable mentions today. You have
basically
your last one, and then
I don't
another
care.
One.
I don't care.
Robsters don't follow the rules.
I don't care. Here we
go. They do pretty much whatever
here's
they
mine,
want.
Here's my honorable mention.
I like this.
I do like this. I got into the rabbit hole of who these people are, and I like them a lot.
Very punk.
Yep.
girl that was in the pictures? What do we got?
So this is a band called Sleater-Kinney.
Nope. I don't know that band name.
Yeah, so they are actually out of Olympia, Washington. They were formed in 94. You will know...
Did you go see them or something in high school?
No,
and then I didn't. You were like in a CD club.
I always saw their name around.
Oh, okay.
And so then as I was reading articles, a lot of lists and articles were talking about, female bands, and their name just kept coming up. So I thought, man, I'm going to start listening to them a little bit. Man, I really like their stuff, and I'm kind of mad that I didn't hear about it sooner. So I apologize that I think true music people and Northwest music people would be like,
yeah,
how do you not know?
They're upset at us now.
And I'm like, I don't
know. Are we losing our street cred?
I don't know. I feel right. Bad. But the band's lineup, part of the lineup is Carrie Brownstein.
Oh, yes.
She's the half of Portlandia. Yeah, that's her. So
there you go.
She is, I put that on there. Sleater-Kinney originally as part of the Riot Girl, GRRRL movement.
Yeah.
And has become a key part of the American indie rock scene. Mm-hmm. So there's this whole movement about like indie rock, girl punk. And it's called the Riot Girl movement. The band is also known for its feminist and progressive politics. They have released 7 studio albums. Their very first one, I just think is really good. They disbanded in 2006. They reunited in 2014. American authors, music journalists, and cultural critics Grail Marcus and Robert Christgau, Christgau. Praised Sleater-Kinney as one of the essential rock groups of the early 2000s.
Yes.
One of them said that Sleater-Kinney's is America's best rock band in 2001.
Okay.
Brahan of Stereo Gum, a daily internet publication that focuses on music news, reviews, interviews, and commentary, called them the greatest rock band of the past 2 decades.
Wow.
He said that in 2015. Yeah.
Goodness gracious.
During an interview with the New York Times, Britt Daniel of the band Spoon said, "Even at that time, they felt legendary to me, like they were coming out of nowhere with a sound that was totally unique and really aggressive. I hadn't seen anything like that before. I hadn't heard anything like that before." And Corin Tucker, the lead singer of this group, was listed as number 155 on Rolling Stone's 2023 list of the 200 best singers, adding, "Punk is full of loud voices, but Corin Tucker's voice stands out even in that genre." So Sleater-Kinney, if you're looking to get into some kind of 90s Northwest punk.
Yeah. I don't know if I'm going down the road of greatest rock band.
Those are very...
But I don't know enough about them, but my first introduction there doesn't tell me for me.
Yeah.
But some people think that is. I think it sounds good.
I think they're really good, and I think they probably inspired a lot of...
And you know what? I'm going to thank you because I've never heard that before. Yeah. I would have not even thought of looking for it. So now that's something I can look for.
And actually, Sleater-Kinney they got their name from there's a road sign like on the freeway. It's a road and it's Sleater-Kinney exit. Yeah. And so you can drive down the freeway and see it.
You know, I was doing something that I don't do on this podcast right now.
What's that?
Thanking you for pulling some random band out of your backside, but you had to cut me off with a road sign.
Oh,
well, so you know what? I'm not going to thank you anymore. That's what's going
to
happen.
I'm not used to the compliments.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So when they come, I don't recognize it. It's not just ingrained in me.
Just take compliments. Right. It's not that difficult.
Sorry. Well, I'm not used to taking them from you.
Okay. Well, my honorable mention. That was a good honorable mention.
Okay.
I still think you cheated with the other one.
That's okay.
That's fine.
That's right.
So you had one cut and 2 honorable mentions.
That's cool.
Which is not how the segment goes. I built this.
Well, it's too late.
And you're just violating.
It's too late.
Robsters.
I already did.
Point being, my honorable mention comes from an artist that we probably couldn't have this lists without having her on the list.
Sarah McLachlan?
Oh, yes. And not the Sad Dog song. This is a great song.
Kiss You So Hard. Wow.
That's a good song.
She founded Little Affair, didn't she?
She did. She's the CEO. If that's a thing. You're making faces. Are you not the...
I don't know if you're the CEO.
You're not in on the Sarah McLachlan?
She's all right.
That's ridiculous.
She's not my favorite.
All right. This is a perfect honorable mention for me. Yeah. Kind of like yours.
Yeah.
I was not into McLachlan in the 90s. Yeah. In fact, I had heard Building a Mystery on the radio and MTV, but that was literally the only Sarah McLachlan song I'd ever heard. And it was catchy, but I didn't listen to anything else and didn't know anything about her. Fast forward to 1998. I met my beautiful wife, and she had every Sarah McLachlan CD.
She's a big fan.
CD book. She loves them.
Oh, I didn't know.
This song, and so I started listening to some of them. Yeah. She'd play them in the boudoir. And then we listened to them in the car. Didn't have to be. It was just in the bedroom, in the living room. Any room. You pick a room.
Are you using that correctly? Boudoir?
Maybe.
What does that even mean?
It just means
I don't think you're using that
correctly. I think in French it means bedroom.
Does it?
I don't think it's, it's any more sinister than that. So, well, this song sounds, it just sounds good to me. I like the chorus. Released in 1993. So I definitely was not listening to that at that time. Has an iconic opening piano riff that combines so well with McLachlan's angelic voice. Oh. The song is from the viewpoint of a man obsessed with a woman and was inspired by consistent letters to McLachlan sometime before writing the song. So she was getting fan letters about kind of being obsessed with her.
Oh, wow.
This is off her album Fumbling Towards Ecstasy and didn't chart high everywhere. In fact, only hitting 26 in her home country of Canada, but is considered a fan favorite and is always requested at her concerts.
Oh.
I love that chorus. I would be the one to hold you down, kiss you so hard, I'll take your breath away. So overall,
I like the name of that album.
Yeah.
Fumbling Toward Ecstasy.
Fumbling Toward Ecstasy.
Yeah, I like that.
I think overall, it's a haunting, beautiful song.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did you write that?
I did. I wrote it
You stole that from someone?
No, I wrote it down. Haunting, beautiful. That's not very far to go. Anyone can come up with that. It's not like I'm not J.D. Salinger. I'm not writing the American novel over here. I just said overall it's a haunting, beautiful song.
I'm not writing the American novel. American
novel,
over
right? Here. I'm not solving any problems. Okay, so
is that Is that Bill Shakespeare over there?
So Bill Shakespeare. Hey. I can't read too good. Yeah. Shut your yapper. All right. Well, that means we can only guess what it's going to be, but it's time for your number one song. I'm going to guess something in the Mary J. Blige.
What?
Erykah Badu
and
Arena.
good job.
Yeah, you'll never guess my number one, but I was right in on yours. Not even.
Yeah. This is a great song.
Had to be one of the two.
Yeah. Erykah Badu.
I knew it. I knew it before we did the list. I said, I mean, they're going to be somewhere.
Yeah.
And when I hadn't heard them, I knew number one was coming. So I'm taking up all the air for the song.
Erykah Badu.
Yeah, we know.
The name of the song is called Other Side of the Game.
Very groovy.
It is. I love it.
Is it soulful?
It is. It's a neo soul is what that's called. No. Anyway, this came out in 97. Erykah Badu. Influenced by R&B, soul, and hip hop. This came off her album Baduism, and it placed her at the forefront of the neo soul movement.
I think she said that album before.
Yeah. Oh, I love this album. She earned the nickname of neo soul by music critics. Her career started when she opened for D'Angelo in 1994. In Fort Worth, a studio executive heard her and then signed her.
Is that Fort Worth, Texas?
Is there another Fort Worth?
I don't know.
Okay. I don't think there is. First album, Baduism, was released in February of 97. It spawned four singles, On and On, Apple Tree, Next Lifetime, and this song, Other Side of the Game. The album was met with critical and commercial success. The album was certified triple platinum, debuted at number two on the Billboard charts, debuted at number one on the U.S. Billboard top R&B hip-hop albums. The album and lead single also gave Badu her first nomination and win at the Grammy Awards. On and On won Best Female R&B Vocal Performance, and the album won Best R&B Album. Her voice has been compared to jazz singer Billie Holiday. In 2023, Rolling Stone ranked Badu at number 115 on its list of the 200 greatest singers of all time. As an actress, she was in Blues Brothers. She was in Cider House Rules. In 97, in a movie called House of D. I don't know what it is. I didn't watch it. In 97, she had her first child. In 97, she had her first child, a son, with Andre 3000 from Outkast.
Who?
For Andre 3000 from Outkast.
What did they have?
A baby. I see what you did there. Well, keep that button ready. In 2004, Badu gave birth to a daughter with Texas-based rapper... The D.O.C.
Nice. I like D.O.C.
In 2009, Badu gave birth to her third child.
You don't get applause for a third child.
A girl with her boyfriend of 5 years, rapper Jay Electronica.
So she's got a few baby daddies. Is that okay to say?
She likes the rappers.
She does like rappers. Well, she's an R&B artist. Why wouldn't she like rappers?
That's right. So anyway.
I'm sure country singers like country artists.
I'm not judging her child rearing. I'm just saying.
No, it sounds a little judgmental. A
little judgy.
So Kip and the boys in the booth did a little research, and you're right. Fort Worth, Texas is the only Fort Worth.
Oh, that's good.
In America.
That's good.
Can't find another city named Fort Worth. Since it was named after a fort, not a lot of other cities would have picked that up, I guess.
Portland.
So again, there's multiple Portlands.
Multiple Portlands.
That is not a unique to the Oregon landscape.
No, Portland. So, it's a land of ports.
It is. You do that all by yourself?
I did.
All right. Well,
I used context clues.
Okay. My number one song. My number one song.
You said I'll never guess it.
I'm not going to guess it. But it is a crossover artist. Second time we've crossed over artists in the pod today. Okay. But it is my favorite song by a female artist in the 90s.
Really? I am shocked.
I told you. It's a great song.
Hey, so I'm flabbergasted. Never thought you'd go Fiona. I thought you'd give me a rash of crap for Fiona.
When you introduced it, I said, she's great.
I know.
I love Fiona.
I know. Where's David?
This what video, have you got? This video's great.
You're very complimentary today. Are you on your meds?
Yes.
Okay.
Full of lithium. Give me my medicine. So I gave you a present.
Wow. Yeah.
Complimentary.
What do you want?
Turned over a new leaf. All right.
Wow.
As I just said.
Okay. I'm giving it back.
This is Criminal
you
by
want
Fiona
something.
Apple. My favorite song on the list. I picked this song before I picked any other song. And
really?
It was number one, and I built from there.
Yeah.
That
is a good song.
I was obsessed with this song when it came out. Yeah. Bought the CD, listened to it over and over. Just a good song. It is the musical arrangement, everything is great. The hook. I'm no unicorn in loving this song. It won a Grammy Award, as you said, Best Female Rock Vocal Performance. Sold over 1 million copies in the U.S. Was nominated for another Grammy for Best Rock Song, but lost to who, Rob?
Come on. Mariah Carey.
You did the research on this.
I don't know.
They lost to your favorite band, as a matter of fact.
Pearl Jam.
The Wallflowers. One Headlight. So they lost
to this. That's a good song, too.
I like that song, but Criminal is superior in every way. VH1 ranked it number 55 of the 100 greatest songs of the 90s. Number 71 on Blender Magazine's list of the 500 greatest songs since you were born. 71, that's really high. Also won an MTV Video Music Award for Best Cinematography. Someone wrote, Fiona Apple's voice is like whiskey and honey mixed together, smooth, smoky, and full of raw emotion.
Wow, you.
She sings with a seductive yet vulnerable tone that draws you in and leaves you hanging on her every word. That's quoted, I guess. I didn't get the name of who wrote it, but that's what it was said.
Wow, you really pulled out some good reviews today.
Yeah. Fun fact, her video was critiqued by Beavis and Butthead on their Thanksgiving special
and then you pull
in
that
1997.
Wow. You really did.
Well,
good.
That was the fun fact.
I was thinking, man, everything was so respectable.
Rolling along.
And then it was
Beavis and Butthead. She was featured on that with Marilyn Manson. So pretty good company, as it turns out. All right. Oh, and Rob Zombie. So those were the three videos.
Wow.
They did a show with Kurt Loder.
Okay.
They were talking about the Thanksgiving Day parade. And then they critiqued. I watched it on
YouTube. Oh, you watched it.
Yeah. They critiqued the parade. They critiqued the videos.
Yeah.
And they kind of, poked fun at Kurt Loder a lot.
They probably humped a couch or something.
They didn't hump the couch. Shut up, Beavis.
Stop it. Stop it.
That is a great playlist of female artists.
It is. That's a good list.
From the 1990s.
That is
good. Did you have any songs or artists from your cutting room floor that didn't make your list?
I'm shocked that Alanis Morissette didn't make it somewhere on there.
Yeah, so it seems like she should have. I looked at multiple songs, but I didn't like any of her songs more than the songs that I chose. So when I looked at it from that aspect, she deserves to be in the annals of 90s female, just regular rock. Yeah. If you go look at Jagged Little Pill, it would have had everything on that you look for with awards, sales, all that.
So. I thought maybe Garbage would make it on there somewhere. Shirley Manson's
Jewel. I thought Jewel might have a shot. Yeah. If you just were going, No Doubt, I thought maybe another.
Yeah, I have them on here. So, they didn't make it.
I really wanted to get possibly Don't Speak, but I just didn't. Again, didn't get there. Didn't go over.
Stefani, Missy Elliott.
Shania Twain, whether you like it or not, she was a juggernaut, right?
One song that I was going to put on there, but I think we already used it. But that's Mazzy Star.
Mazzy Star.
They're Fade Into You.
Oh, yeah, we great used it song. Previously.
Yeah, that's why. Okay, that's I thought we used it. So, I toyed with putting some Britney Spears on there. I mean, you gotta when you talk about women of the 90s, she's
I would agree.
She has some good songs, so catchy songs. Oops, I Did Again.
Oops.
That's right.
Oh, Britney?
Yeah, a little Britney.
Yeah,
little
I mean, and Britney. Madonna had some big hits in the 90s. I know. Madonna's we didn't do any of that.
Salt and Pepper. We didn't get them on there.
Could have talked about Missy Elliott.
She's on my list right here.
Yeah. There were quite a few.
Aaliyah.
On there.
Aaliyah.
Aaliyah.
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway. She was good. Aaliyah was good. Did we get them all?
I think so.
You think so?
I think we did pretty good.
I think, I don't want to think, Rob. I want to know.
I think our list is good. Yeah, I like it. I gave my list to my daughter, let her play around with it, and she goes, oh, I really like this. So I think maybe we'll introduce some younger listeners to some female artists.
Female artists.
Yeah.
Well, that's good. So, well, yeah, I think overall we did a good job.
Yeah.
You can pat yourself on the back.
I don't want
you
to.
You know what? You don't even have to pat yourself on the back. Ah. This is what happens when you let me play with the buttons.
I know.
Yeah. I like buttons. You I do. Like shiny things. Right? So, well, I have a quick shout out, Rob. I recently listened to a new podcast called Pop Culture Reflections.
Oh.
The host has been engaging with our show a lot on X and has had some really flattering things to say about our show and really, really likes it. He's mentioned it multiple times. On his latest episode, you're going to like this.
Oh.
He mentioned our Nirvana episode. And we actually inspired him. He did his latest episode talking about his relationship with Nevermind. I just listened to it today, actually. And his story was very interesting. He was 10 when it came out, didn't like it, didn't listen to it. And then 29 or 30 years later, he was randomly in the car. Spotify recommended it. He was having a bad day, listened to it front to back, and now it's one of his favorite albums of all time. Absolutely. So, and he said that listening to us talk about our feelings on Nirvana inspired him to talk about his on the thing. And he noted you particularly, Rob. Oh. He really thought, and it was very profound when you talked about how your dad got emotional thinking of his top albums. Yeah. And it inspired him to talk about how albums make him feel and all these things. So
wow, very cool.
He noted us on that. So but he mentioned us and very flattering.
Again. Oh, that's cool.
So, you know, on our show, we go for a lot of humor with our nostalgia. Yeah. We try to have fun. We always have fun. We love doing this. But when I hear that we inspired something, like our good friend of the show, Sean, he has a challenging career that he does.
Yeah.
And he'll tell us all the time that just the hour and a half of our show will take his mind off of some of the things he has to deal with that, you know, aren't fun things all the time.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And when we started this, I didn't think about the part where people might have that kind of feeling or we might inspire something a year ago when we started this, a little over a year ago. So it's just a little humbling.
That's cool.
But it's cool that people, that drives that kind of inspiration and emotion in people. So I just want to thank, I want to thank the host of Pop Culture Reflections. And
that's cool.
Hopefully he keeps listening. So
that is, you know, like anything you do, right? You want to get some satisfaction out of it, you know? And when we're doing this work, it's fun. It's cool to hear that. We had an impact on somebody.
Yeah, so, I think so.
I think that's really cool. That is very rewarding and satisfying.
Yeah, so. I was quite shocked when I listened to the podcast and I heard it and I was like, wow, you know, I wouldn't have expected that.
Yeah, that's cool.
But we got a lot of good feedback on the Nirvana episode.
We did.
And we love putting that out. It's one of my favorite ones now. We're glad everybody really liked it. So
that's very cool.
Just one last thing. If you like 80s, 90s nostalgia, check out Pop Culture Reflections. He's over on Spotify. He covers a lot of good topics, more of a short form, 40 minute episodes. So lots of fun, but
cool.
So keep it coming. If you'd like to contact Rob and I, which we always look forward to, this is you, right? I stole it from you, didn't I?
No, go for it.
No, I don't want to do it.
You don't want to do it?
I do it every week. Let's Willy Wonka this. Rewind. Start again.
If you'd like to contact Dave and I, which we always look forward to, you can find us on all the social media sites from Facebook to X, the artist formerly known as Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, to which we've provided links in the show notes. But you can also just Google us. We're everywhere.
We're everywhere.
We're kind of a big deal.
I'm so used to doing everything. I just robotically start reading all of it. So.
I'm going to tell you, it feels weird not pushing buttons. So I want to turn up the volume. I want to turn it down.
Yeah,
so this is weird.
He doesn't like my button usage.
So Google us.
Yeah, you can also find us on our website.
Google us, Barbara.
Yeah, and then he interrupts me.
Sorry.
You can also find us at our website, totally80sand90srecall@podbean.com. And finally, feel free to email us at 80sand90srecall@gmail.com, where you can ask questions about current or previous episodes, suggest future show ideas, or simply just say hello. And we really would like some hellos, so feel free to reach out. Grab us. We love to hear from the fans.
Well, personal bubble. Finally, after the show, jump on Apple or Spotify. We'd appreciate a quick 5 stars and a review. We really do read the reviews. So
every time.
Put them up there, which I promise we are worthy of. The rating and reviews will greatly help the show grow on these sites and allow us to bring our super terrific, happy podcast to everyone around the world.
Super terrific, happy fun podcast.
Super terrific, happy fun.
Happy podcast.
That's good. I like it. I like that.
Well, as you ought to know, that brings us to the end of this episode.
It's like a.
Wait a minute.
Alanis we can't
close
Morissette. It
yet. Yeah, but we didn't close. I got to rewind.
Yeah.
Willy Wonka again. Do you have any closing thoughts?
I just have a quote from Billie Holiday.
I tried to cut you off.
Erykah Badu's compared to Billie Holiday. She had a great quote that I thought. It says, "You can't copy anybody and end with anything. If you copy, it means you're working without any real feeling. No two people on this earth are alike, and it's got to be that way in music or it isn't music." And I think that's a really cool quote about creativity, and when you're creating something, is create something original. And I love it. I thought that was a really cool quote.
It is a cool quote.
Yeah.
I had some good reviews today, or some good information about the artist.
You did.
You got the cool quote.
Yeah.
The warm hug, Rob.
Wrapped
in the R&B soul.
Oh, I like it.
Well, alluding to Alanis Morissette, we got her onto the show regardless because I says, as you ought to know, I says, that brings us to the end of this episode. We hope you've enjoyed taking a look back at some great music featuring female artists and bands from the 1990s celebrating Women's History Month. Rob, if you like or love today's musical selections, we have made it super terrific easy for you to listen to them in all in full, as we've provided links. He's shaking his head, folks, to Apple, Spotify, and Amazon in the show notes. Finally, we'd like to thank you, the listeners, whether first timers or subscribers, for hanging out with Rob and I for an hour or so. Hopefully we provided some fun laughs, great memories, nothing too crazy. And don't forget to tune in for all new episodes of Totally 80s and 90s Recall. When, Rob?
Every Tuesday. We haven't missed one yet.
Nope. We're very reliable.
Yeah.
We're like a warm blanket.
I don't like that. Hey, what are we doing next time?
You don't like anything today.
I don't.
We haven't done it in a while. We're going to go back on the Billboard charts. We're going to do one of our Hot 100 shows, March 26th, 1988.
Ooh, I was 3 years old, so I'll have a lot to say about that.
I think you're going
to
like it.
I'm
you're
really...
not 3 years old in 1988, weirdo.
Oh, yeah, 88. Oh, my notes say 80. Sorry. Well,
you must have had a typo.
I got an old one.
So 1988. So you were a little older than three.
1988.
So these might be a little more relevant.
I was 11.
Okay. I believe you have the odd songs this week.
Ooh.
So when you're doing your research on this Hot 100, you will select yours from the odd numbers.
Yeah, that's fair.
That's your only rules.
That's fair. I like that.
I've got the evens.
All right.
Well, do you have anything else?
I don't have anything else.
Fancy goodbye.
No fancy goodbye.
No fancy goodbye.
Super terrific, happy podcast.
Super terrific.
That's a t-shirt.
That's off of Seinfeld.
Super terrific, happy podcast. We didn't talk about boobs.
Almost.
Almost.